Well, a very good evening and welcome to 1800 Online this Tuesday, April 2nd. Were you an April Fool yesterday? Anyway, very special show this evening. Live in the studio with me is going to be Nick Elliott. It's an absolute pleasure to have you.
Good evening, Alf. It's good to be here. Thanks for inviting me on.
Let's get straight to it. Nick, tell me, you're a rock photographer.
Well, I'm indeed.
But how did Nick Elliott become a rock photographer? Where do we start?
Starts quite a while ago, but I've always been around music heavily, very, very much so. It's a very big part of my life. Played in bands, roaded in bands, looked after bands, all that kind of stuff, and been tutoring bands since the year dot, really. If I have a second passion to photography, it is music.
Excellent.
And pretty much 20 years ago, I kind of said, well, you know, no, you know, it was time that I moved away from what I was doing at the time. I've always shot and worked a lot in the music industry, but nothing like as serious as it is now.
Right.
You know, I've kind of dobbed in and came away. And I was a creative advertising photographer before.
Oh, okay.
And so shot a lot of, you know, kind of above the line, between the line campaigns, like car campaigns, like car accounts and that kind of thing, mm-hmm. cigarettes, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then about 20 years ago, I kind of said, nah. This is not really getting to where I want it to go creatively. I was getting pretty screwed over with it all.
Right.
The business is in a mess, Al, is the bottom line. It's been in a mess for about 25, 30 years, really.
Really, that long?
Yeah, yeah, it's about that. I mean, the kind of, you know, introduction of digi photography was, you know, very much a big nail in the coffin. But it was a creative thing for me. It's an emotional kind of feeling issue, which is what I had. I'm lucky enough that I can pretty much pick and choose who I work with.
Right.
And I sent my stall out to work with the guys that had been my heroes, that had been such a big influence, that made me the guy that I am today. Both, you know, from a romantic point of view and an emotional point of view, but certainly from a creative point of view. You know, sitting there listening to these guys, these bands, and, you know, dark rooms, smoking your ass off, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. Just listening to rock music, you know, where it all come from, where it all started. And I kind of said, no, you know, this is it. It's time I got to where I wanted to go with this thing. And then moved it on from there. So that's how it really come about.
Right. So how does one get themselves into, I mean, you said that these people influenced you. So how did you get yourself in front of them with your lens?
Well, basically, it's really down to what I do, how I do it. I'm very much photography, forgive me for saying so, at this kind of level, is about style. It's about a product, a style that people are buying. For me, it's not about just taking pictures. It's a lot more than that. Photography is purely the medium that I use to create the art that I create. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you could paint it, I'd probably paint it. But photography is my gig. That's what I do,
right.
You know.
Right.
So it's very much about creating something that is a fine piece of art. You know, it's not just about taking pictures. It's about creating something that will live on long after me. You know, for me, the whole object of the gig is to change things, to move the line, to take it further, you know, so that my images become recognised to the point of where people, you look at them and say, that's a Nick Elliott. You know, so it's that kind of stamp is what I'm looking for,
right.
You know. So how it comes about is really doing what I do, and people wanting what I do, you know, because it is so different to what most of the average guys are doing.
Mm. So you said digital was the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
When you're in the pit at a gig or wherever it is you're taking the pictures from,
yep.
And I don't know, let's say there's 5,000 people at an event, and you can pretty much guarantee that about 2,000 of those will have the camera phones out.
Yep.
How does your picture really, really rise above the point and shoot, the click from a camera phone?
Well, again, for me, it's to create what I create is a very emotional thing. It's a love affair. It's sex. That's where you're going with it. It's about you're into foreplay, you're into the final conflict, and then home run, game on. You know what I'm saying? and that's what this is all about. You know, it's so easy. And again, with the digi side of things, you know, these things are all singing and dancing. Mm-hmm. You can just send the camera. You ain't even got to have a bloke to work it. You know, the camera will do everything. But it's a love affair. I think that you have to understand music, the craft, how these guys create the art that they create. Mm. It's a very strange world. You know, these people are different, we will say.
Yeah.
That's being conservative in the kind of, you know, title that I'm giving them. But they are different, and the world is different.
Yes.
You know, it's hell with the lid off, really, you know.
Everything. I mean, I know the gigs I've been to and I've shot. I've been backstage, you know, pre and post gig, shot from the side of the stage, all that kind of stuff. And it is. It's a totally different world that they're inhabiting, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You're not talking bank accounts and pensions here. You know, that's not what the conversation's going down.
No.
You know, but then in saying that, it is, you have to get into that situation where you respect them, they respect you. It's all about that kind of level thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, because you, with this business now, you've got a lot of people in here that shouldn't be in it.
Right.
Big time, they shouldn't be in it.
Right.
And again, you know, let's go and get ourselves strapped up with $5,000 or $6,000 worth of camera gear. You know, I'm a photographer. Yeah. Well, you can buy, you know, a book on heart surgery. You know, you ain't going to knock one of them off on a Saturday night, are you?
Right. So, these people that shouldn't be doing it, how does their work differ? Because I mean, technically, if they're coming at it with, you know, $5,000 worth of camera, they've got all the bits, they've got all the gear and no idea, if you like. How does your photography stand out from theirs?
Well, again, it's about an understanding. It's about a feeling. Mm. It's about an emotion.
Are you building up a relationship with these artists as well?
In most cases, but not all the time. I mean, that kind of particular world, when I actually shoot these people, certainly when I'm doing the live stuff, you know, where you're doing the kind of one-to-one studio stuff, you're shooting album covers or whatever, promos, that's a lot more intimate.
Yeah.
But then in saying that, with a lot of these guys, not all, but a lot of them, you know, your time with these people is very tight. Very tight. And certainly, you know, with a lot of the bands I've worked with, Motorhead and people like that, Thin Lizzy, I've done a lot of stuff with Lizzy, you know, these kind of guys get to know you, and the whole thing's a lot more kind of easy, you know. And again, these guys are not, they're not pub bands. These guys have been doing it for years, you know. They know their craft. You understand that. They understand what you do. You know, there isn't any of this kind of professionalism kind of scenario going on, which again, with a lot of these people that are in the business, let's talk about, you know, like you said earlier on, the gigs that you've possibly done.
Mm-hmm.
You tip up there and there's, you know, 5 or 6 people or even more. Well, who the hell are you? What are you here for, you know?
Yeah.
And again, because you've got online magazines, you've got, you know, kind of lifestyle magazines that are driven by essentially advertising and all that kind of stuff. The whole digi world has opened it up for people to set up and do these things.
Yes.
You know, and you've got TV channels and all this kind of stuff, you know. And they shouldn't be there. They shouldn't be doing it, you know. And that's what's watering down things like the BBC, you know, and commercial TV like ITV, Angular and this kind of thing, Channel 4. It's watering all that down.
Hmm.
But the nice thing about it is that the style of what I do and, you know, that kind of thing will live on at the end of the day.
See, I've seen that these artists tend to surround themselves with an outer and inner sanctum. And in a group of people. And you really need to be in that inner group, don't you? When I'm talking about being accepted by the artist, you said you'd worked a lot with Motorhead and Thin Lizzy.
Yep.
They now accept you as, when you pitch up, but oh, that's Nick, that's fine. Is that the kind of relationship that you're looking to build with these?
Yeah, I mean, you don't really set your store there to do that, Al, to be honest. I mean, it's just because, again, you're there doing whatever, they're there doing whatever. And at the end of the day, despite the fact that these guys are, you know, ripping up probably a 20,000-seater arena, they're it's a job.
Yes.
In a stupid way, it's a job. you know. But it's life and death to them, the same as what I do is life and death to me.
Right.
You know, it's a lot serious, a lot more serious than life and death, you know.
Wow.
So it's to get into those kind of areas, yes, but that's not what you set your stall out to do, you know. I mean, I go there to get what I get.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't get that, I walk away.
Right.
Or if there's any likelihood that I won't get that, I don't even do the gig in the first place.
Okay. I've got to ask, I saw on your list, big fan and all that, massive part of my life. What was it like photographing Brian May?
Well, actually, I haven't actually shot Brian May.
Oh, right.
Not as in it kind of controlled environment.
Oh, no.
I mean,
okay.
I spent a bit of time with him at the Classic Rock Awards, which was 2 years ago. And I met him then, which was a bit of a special, you know, kind of chip on the bedpost. Fantastic guy.
Yeah.
Very nice. I mean, awesome player. Serious mover.
But he's into photography as well, isn't he? And
yes,
that's
he
one
is.
Of the reasons I asked.
Yeah,
him,
he so. Is. And he's certainly, you know, he's big time in with the animals and he looks after the animals and does a lot of conservation, that kind of stuff, which always gets my vote.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
there's things that I could say that I won't, but, you know, because of the respect I have for the guy. But,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
to meet him and just stand there and have a bit of a chat and, you know, we kind of just exchanged dialogue, really.
Right.
I did a couple of shots, but put it this way, that they won't be in the V&A, you know.
Okay. Right, okay.
You know, so.
Now, Queen, big in the 80s.
Yeah.
Let's try and focus on that decade a little bit. What were you doing in the 80s?
I was doing this. This is all I've ever done.
Really?
Yeah. Again, the 80s wasn't musically a fantastic time for me. You know, there was a lot that I kind of gave a miss, like Kajagooju and these type of people and all that kind of, you know,
the
really
new romantic stuff.
Well, no. Don't get me wrong. Fantastic look, marvellous, marvellous kind of place in its own right in the business. And I loved the kind of new romantic feel, the style of everything that was going on. And some good bands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Duran Duran, good band, you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who else. I mean, people like Level 42.
Yes,
well,
definitely.
Serious. Yeah. Love Level 42. Huge fan. And then went on to do some stuff with Mark King.
Okay.
Which was a big kind of, again, feather in the cap, you know. Mm. This guy has his bases custom made, man, you know.
Yeah.
And they illuminate up the neck. Serious
so
shit.
What was it like working with Mark King then?
Mark King is, well, he's a really nice guy. A very, very nice guy.
Mm.
Like I say, he has all his bases are custom made, and this particular time he got on the neck of this Warwick bass that he had, it actually was illuminated and spelt out Mark King.
Goodness me.
But I mean, you know, although you could say that's a bit, you know, blowing smoke, but this guy really, you know, he can get away with it. He is that good.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it was the kind of first reincarnation of Level 42 when they came back, reformed, and he actually decided to put it back together, which was essentially a band of session guys. And Mark King was the only original member, which is a bit of a bark. But they're coming out again this year, I do believe, with the original band.
Fantastic. Mm. Now, a lot of I'm focusing on the 80s.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
That's my
sure,
knowledge, if you like. But a lot of these bands are making a return. They're coming back. They're out there, aren't they? They're gigging, they're touring, they're releasing albums.
Well, I mean, on the Blondie tour, which kicks, I think the UK part of it starts in the next month or so, Lightning Seeds are on that tour.
Wow.
Pretty much most of the tour. I think they're about two-thirds of it. You know, good band.
Yeah.
Very good band. And I mean, Blondie have been touring since Debbie Harry got old. In fact, she's got old while they're touring.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a bummer. But yeah, Debbie, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But those kind of bands are still doing it because at the end of the day, again, the music business is very much like photography. There's a lot of throwaway issues going on. And you're struggling to find people that have got the kind of credibility, the command of their craft that you've got from bands like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that were legendary bands, have made awesome albums and continue to still do great shows, and they can put people in to venues.
Yes. Yeah. And it's not just like a certain age group, is it?
No, it isn't. I mean, a lot of these kind of, well, believe it or not, no doubt you probably even know this, but Jimi Hendrix now is big time on the up. You've got kind of 19, 20-year-old people, even younger kind of youths now. Jimi Hendrix, God, Jesus.
Well, my middle son, James, he's 18 now? And he's absolutely... Robert Johnson, you know, and Hendrix and everything. And he wanted a Flying V guitar.
Oh, lovely.
And he's got one now. But I said to him, I said, don't buy that until you're really, really good.
Yeah.
Because when people see you pick that up, they're going to expect to hear some awesome shredding or whatever, you know. They're going to expect to hear some awesome guitar playing.
Well, guitars do have that kind of reputation that if you own one of these things, you really need to be able to use it. And the Flying V, which is obviously Gibson's kind of, you know, that was one of the trailblazers. You're talking Michael Schenker, Andy Powell, you know, those kind of guys from Wishbone Ash. But Schenker is a bit tidy. You know, when it comes, and Schenker uses all Gibson Flyers.
Now, this is another artist that you've...
Yeah, Michael Schenker, that was, well, really the kind of main original member of the Scorpions, German band.
Yep.
But I'd done some stuff with Schenker at High Voltage a couple of years ago, and then picking up again with that guy, he kicks off a tour, I think it's May, I think it might be May, and I've been asked to do some stuff on that. But, awesome player.
So... when you say you've been asked to come and cover a tour or part of a tour, a gig, whatever, who's asking you? Who's approaching you?
In most cases, it can be the record companies. It can be the bands direct. We do tend to work a lot with the artists direct. Mm-hmm. Management companies, PR companies. Right. So, you know, it's all the kind of people that are involved around what these guys do. Mm-hmm. And the tours obviously then kick off a lot more of that kind of thing when these people come back out to do stuff.
Do you have an artist that will come to you directly? We won't go through PR, won't go through management, will come and say, Nick, I want you to photograph.
A lot of the guys that I certainly, you're more kind of classic rock, which is really my kind of genre. So you're talking Thin Lizzy, Motorhead, Def Leppard, Saxon, that kind of stuff, ZZ Top. They're your kind of, you know, they're the kind of men for me. So with those kind of people, you've got that kind of relationship going on. You know, the Blockheads and Bob Geldof, these type of people. Your kind of issues come when you, not that I get involved in things like Justin Bieber, but there, that's where your issues come, you know, Kylie Minogue and Rihanna and all these kind of people, you know, which, I mean, I'm not going to rubbish these people because a lot of them, you know, they can do the job, but there's a lot of real iffiness that surrounds some of this. It's a bit of a nonsense.
Right. Okay, photographers, we have to talk glass. Tell me about your equipment. If that's not a dodgy,
you know, all the girls say that to me.
Well, now you've had a bald bloke asking.
is that a way forward, or
I don't know.
One I should mention.
Let's see what happens after the show.
Eyes down, new game.
What's a pro gig photographer carrying?
Canons is what I use. I mean, I've used Canons for a long, long time.
Right.
Basically, to be honest, it's not about cameras for me. It's about feelings. And most definitely nowadays, equipment-wise, there's not a lot to choose. It's very much, as I know you own a Nikon, I do believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Most of this kind of thing, and I've shot Nikons, used Nikons, you know, a long time ago, Hasselblads, your Mamiyas, all the kind of stuff, the Pucca gear, Bronikas, kind of stuff in the film days. But really, to be honest, it's down to personal preference now.
Yes.
So it's just because I like how they do it. You know, they've all got their quirks. They've all got their kind of personalities. And, you know, I know what I can get, what I can do, what I can push, what I can destroy, and how far I can do it to get what I'm after.
So are you using prime lenses a lot, or?
No, mostly just, you know, twin touch zooms, some primes, but, you know, it depends really, because certainly for a lot of the live stuff, which I do a lot of live stuff, you know, I get asked to do a lot of the live stuff, which is because I, to be honest, I prefer that to anything.
Right.
For me, again, this is about creating. What I do is very much like listening to music, and I like to be able to recreate that time, that situation, in a visual form, so that you can look at one of my images and it will take you to wherever you want to go in your head.
Right.
The best way of kind of describing this is the legendary album Dark Side of the Moon, which, without a doubt, I think would be my all-time favourite. Greatest album ever.
Right.
Because every time, and this is only one of the reasons, but every time you listen to that album, you go somewhere else in your head, wherever that may be.
Mm.
Back to a time of a girl, back to a time of your parents, what you were doing, you know. Hammered one Friday night, walking home, whatever. Whatever it is, but it takes you to a place, and that's what I attempt to achieve from the images I shoot.
Right. So, the reason I asked about lenses and cameras is because you tend to be working in very low light areas, don't you? You tend to be working in low light. Now, you can't use a flash. So how do you get around that? You're in a semi-dark room. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of changing colours. You can't use a flash gun. So how are you dealing with that situation?
Well, in respect to flash, I wouldn't even consider it.
No.
Even if, you know, you had the offer, I wouldn't do it. Because, again, this is very much, certainly in a live scenario, it's very much about recreating what's going on at the time.
Yes.
But not in a reportage type of way. When I say that, I like to attempt to get behind the whole facade of what that may be. Four guys standing on the stage, you know, kicking out shitloads of watts with a load of a big light text, you know, going on.
Yeah.
What I like to do is get into what these people are about and get beyond that veil into what these characters, what the people are. So, I mean, in respect of the kind of technical side of it, light-wise, well, it's a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that.
And my first gig, everything came out pink. And I think that was genuinely because I didn't know what I was doing.
Right, could be.
And when I look back at it and talk to other people, I know what it was, and it was white balance and all that kind of stuff. But how you know, you go and shoot a big event, a big gig, and how do you get round the fact that some of these images might not work? Are you a take a load and pick one,
or good
you,
God,
are you,
no.
you will take? Just the images you need.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know instantaneously before I press the shutter whether I've got the great shot.
Right.
Or whether I've just got a shot.
And has that come over time, or is that just something you seem to...
I believe that is, to a high degree, not wanting to touch too much on this subject, but I think it's quite a spiritual thing.
All right, okay.
I think it's quite a thing that you understand. It's, again, it's an emotion, it's a feel of kind of connecting, a chemistry, like, well, the only way of describing it, really, to be honest, though, is it's like a boy meets girl scenario.
Right.
I know that sounds, you know, possibly a bit off the wall, but you kind of look at something and you see these people and it's there, and you know it's there. And you shoot it, I've no need to even look at it. I know that I've got what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I could then leave. If that happens in five shots, well, lovely jubbly.
Mm-hmm.
But no, for me to shoot over 40 images is extremely rare.
Wow.
Extremely rare. And that could be to shoot the whole show, if I shot the whole show.
Yeah, yeah. I hark back to one of my first, you know, going behind the lens and pointing it to the band. I filled the memory card because the only thing I could think of at the time was just keep the shutter going. One of them will work.
Well, I think, to be honest,
I don't do that now. But, you know, I'm just going back to then. It was,
I think, essentially, you could pretty much say that if you're standing in a pit we'll say, in a situation like that, like you were with we'll say, five or six other guys, well, 90% of them people are doing exactly the same.
Yeah.
And they're hoping for that one.
Yes.
But for me, again, that kind of very much waters down what this whole thing is about.
But I think that that's come from time, hasn't it? That's come from experience.
What, and with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it has. But again, I think it's more than that. I know what I want to achieve before I even go to where I'm going.
Right, okay.
And before I meet these people, I know what I want.
And this is because you've immersed yourself in that world. You've immersed yourself in the music. And you're, like you say, you're going in there to create a piece of art. Aren't you? You're not going in for reportage, you're not going in for, well, you know, so-and-so played at so-and-so and click, there's a picture of them doing it. That's not what you're on about.
Well, no, I mean, I've walked out of places where I've been, you know, I've kind of been asked to shoot various different artists or whatever, and not many of these, but there has been a couple of occasions where I've got there, no, I can't do what I want to do here.
Right.
No. There's no point in carrying on.
And that's circumstances or...?
Just the whole thing. Could be, you know, essentially the venue, or you get to these places and it just isn't right. The whole thing is just not right. It's not working. But again, certainly with me, I kind of pick and choose very much where I want to go. Because this is not about just photographing a gig or a show.
No.
You know, I've got to get what I want when I come away. If I haven't got that, the whole thing's been a total failure. You know, and I've walked away with things and said, you know, no, it's not here. You know, and if you'd rather not bother with this, I'd rather walk away and say no, because I know I can't get what I want to get. And to be honest, whatever I'm commissioned to do, you know, my line is extremely far away. When I say the line, I mean creatively, what I know that I need to get to satisfy myself. If I've satisfied me, I've satisfied every client on the planet.
Brilliant. Okay, looking at your website, which is nickelliott.eu, tell me about this book, 10.
10? Well, actually, I'm working on... I've just started on the first of a trilogy of rock books, which I'm going to do. But 10 came about, really, because I was approached by a specialist book publisher called Rufus Stone that had been on about talking about doing a book with me, rock orientation, because that's essentially what I'm about, for some time. And we started to start to put that thing together. And because they just loved what I did, they said, well, look, we'd like to kind of make this a bit more, and we'd like to do more and probably do a collection. And they kind of said, what would you like to do? And I said, well, obviously, we're already doing the rock book, so that's where I want to go from the start.
Right.
But I said that because we've been asked quite a lot to work the Cambridge Folk Festival in various different guises, through record companies or for the artists, but essentially because a lot of the Americans that they bring over here, Cambridge Folk Festival is a great place for breaking American artists here.
Yes.
And they'll bring legendary people over, like Chris Christopherson, headlined here, I think, a couple of 3 years ago, you know.
Blimey.
That guy he don't do many pubs, not in the UK, you know what I'm saying. But Cambridge Folk Festival bring these people here. Great, great artists, brilliant people. Mavericks are headlining this year. Fantastic band. I did some stuff with them in Nashville in 2010.
Right.
You know, but they're coming here and they headline the Cambridge Folk Festival. They're only doing one or two shows in the UK, but the Folk Festival does this, despite the fact that they call it Cambridge Folk Festival. It's nothing like that, really.
Right.
There is that kind of area of it. But I've been invited to work with a lot of these people. So I'd spent a lot of time over the past 10 years at Cambridge Folk Festival. And it became quite a regular thing. But yeah, I did some stuff with Robert Plant at Cambridge Folk Festival.
Really?
That's where that started.
Wow.
You know, so that's the kind of people that you're talking about. And then Rufus said, well, look, what do you want to do? And I said, I'd love to do this book about the Cambridge Folk Festival, but essentially most of the people that weren't really that folk, you know.
Yes.
But not
when
about...
When you say Robert Plant, I don't think folk music.
No. He's not renowned for that. little band called Led Zeppelin, they did quite well in their time.
They've had a couple of...
Yeah, no doubt you've probably read something about them.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the whole thing was about, again, taking this... It was an image-driven book. 10 is an image-driven book. And there was actually three versions of 10. There was two standard editions, which were... cut a lot less pages, a lot less images, and then there was 10, which was a hard case edition in a flight case, and all this thing was liveried up, and you know, the all these images were chosen by me, as were the standard book, but there was a few variations that, you know, kind of went into that, but then there was a lot of special ones that went into 10 that were all my choice, you know, like there was series, some stuff I'd done with the Sword Doctors,